The U.S. military is making plans to take over America by 2030. No, this is not another conspiracy theory. It could easily be, however. Nor is it a Hollywood political thriller, although it certainly has all the makings of a good thriller. No, this is the real deal, coming at us straight from the horse's mouth. According to a Pentagon training video entitled, and listen clearly, Megacities, Urban Future, the Emerging Complexity, that was created by the Army for U.S. Special Operations Command, the U.S. military plans to use armed forces to solve future domestic political and social problems. What they're really talking about is, however, martial law, packaged as a well-meaning and overriding concern for the nation's security. The chilling 5-minute training video obtained by The Intercept through a FOIA request and made available online points an ominous picture of the future, a future the military is preparing for, bedeviled by, and these are their phrases, criminal networks, substandard infrastructure, religious and ethnic tensions, impoverishment, slums, open landfills, overburdened sewers, a growing mass of unemployed, and an urban landscape in which the prosperous economic elite must be protected from the impoverishment of the have-nots. And then comes the kicker. 3.5 minutes into the Pentagon's dystopian vision, the ominous voice of the narrator speaks of the need to drain the swamps of a world of urban hellscapes, brutal and anarchic super cities filled with gangs of young people gone wild, restless underclass, criminal syndicates, and bands of malicious hackers. Drain the swamps? Surely we've heard that phrase before, haven't you? Ah, yes. It was emblazoned on T-shirts and signs, shouted at rallies, and used as a rallying cry among Donald Trump and his supporters. Drain the swamp became one of Trump's most used campaign slogans. Funny how quickly the tides can shift and the tables can turn. Whereas Trump promised to drain the politically corrupt swamps of Washington, D.C., of lobbyists, special interest groups, the U.S. military is plotting to drain the swamps of futuristic urban cities of, and I'm quoting here again, noncombatants, and engage the remaining adversaries in high-intensity conflict within. And who are these noncombatants? It's a military term that refers to civilians, that's me and you folks, who are not engaged in fighting. They are, according to the Pentagon, adversaries. They are threats. They are the enemy. They are people who don't support the government, people who live in fast-growing urban communities, people who may be less well-off economically than the government and corporate elite, people who engage in protests, people who are unemployed. In other words, in the eyes of the U.S. military, noncombatants are American citizens, also known as domestic extremists, also known as enemy combatants who must be identified, targeted, detained, contained, and if necessary, eliminated. Welcome to Battlefield America. In the future imagined by the Pentagon, any walls and prisons that are built will be used to protect the societal elite, the haves from the have-nots. But here's the clincher. We are the have-nots. Suddenly it all begins to make sense. The events of recent years, the invasive surveillance, the extremism reports on American citizens, the civil unrest, the protests, the shootings, the bombings, the military exercises and active shooter drills, the color-coded alerts and threat assessments on American homes, the fusion centers, the transformation of local police into extensions of the military, the handing out of military equipment and weapons to local police forces, the government databases containing the names of, supposedly, dissidents and potential troublemakers. This is how you prepare a populace to accept a police state willingly, even gratefully, out of fear. You don't scare them by making dramatic changes. Rather, you acclimate them slowly to their prison walls. Persuade the citizenry that their prison walls are merely intended to keep them safe and danger out. Desensitize them to violence. Acclimate them to a military presence in their communities, called the local police, and persuade them that there is nothing they can do to alter the seemingly hopeless trajectory of the nation. Before long, no one will even notice the floundering economy, the blowback arising from military occupations abroad, the police shootings, the nation's deteriorating infrastructure, and all the other mounting concerns. The point is that the government's tactics are working. Back in 2008, an Army War College report revealed that, and I'm quoting, widespread civil violence inside the United States would force the defense establishment to reorient priorities and extremists to defend basic domestic order and human security. This 44-page report went on to warn that potential causes for such civil unrest could include another terrorist attack, unforeseen economic collapse, loss of functioning political and legal order, purposeful domestic resistance or insurgency, pervasive public health emergencies, and catastrophic natural and human disasters. And believe it or not, in 2009, reports by the Department of Homeland Security or the DHS surfaced that labeled right-wing and left-wing activists and military veterans as extremists, also known as terrorists, and called on the government to subject such targeted individuals to full-fledged pre-crime surveillance. Almost a decade later, after spending billions to fight terrorism, the Department of Homeland Security concluded that the greater threat is not ISIS, but domestic right-wing extremism. Meanwhile, the government has been amassing an arsenal of military weapons for use domestically and equipping and training their troops for war. Even government agencies with largely administrative functions such as the Food and Drug Administration, the Department of Veteran Affairs, and believe it or not, the Smithsonian, have been acquiring body armor, riot helmets and shields, cannon launchers, and police firearms and ammunition. In fact, there are now at least 120,000 armed federal agents carrying such weapons who possess the power to arrest American citizens. Rounding out the profit-driven campaign to turn American citizens into enemy combatants and America into a battlefield is a technology sector that has been colluding with the government to create a big brother that is all-knowing, all-seeing, and inescapable. It's not just the drones, fusion centers, license plate readers, Stingray devices, and the NSA that you have to worry about now. You're also being tracked by the black boxes in your cars, your cell phones, your smart devices that are in your home, grocery loyalty cards, social media accounts, credit cards, streaming services such as Netflix, Amazon, and ebook reader accounts. All of this is taking place right under our noses, funded with our own tax dollars and carried out in broad daylight without so much as a general outcry from the citizenry. It's astounding how convenient we've made it for the government to lock down the nation, folks. So what is the government preparing for? Mind you, by government, I'm not referring to the highly partisan two-party bureaucracy of Republicans and Democrats. I'm referring to the government with a capital G, the entrenched deep state that is unaffected by elections, unaltered by populist movements, and has set itself beyond the reach of the law and the people. I'm referring to the corporatized, militarized, entrenched bureaucracy that is fully operational and staffed by unelected officials who are, in essence, running the country and calling the shots in Washington, D.C. No matter who sits in the White House, these people run the show. This is the hidden face of the government that has no respect for the freedom of the citizenry. What is the government preparing for? You tell me. Better yet, take a look at the Pentagon's training video for yourself. It's only 5 minutes long, but it says a lot about the government's mindset, the way it views us, we the people, and the so-called problems that the military must be prepared to address in the near future in a military way. Even more troubling, however, is what this military video doesn't say about the Constitution, about the rights of us, the citizens, the people, and about the dangers of using the military to address political and social problems. The future is here. We're witnessing a breakdown of American society on virtually every front. By waging endless wars abroad, by bringing the instruments of war home, by transforming police into extensions of the military, by turning a free society into a suspect society through surveillance, by treating American citizens like enemy combatants, by discouraging and criminalizing a free exchange of ideas, by making violence its calling card through SWAT team raids and militarized police, by fomenting division and strife among the citizenry, by acclimating the citizenry, the people, to the sights and sounds of war, and by generally making peaceful revolution all but impossible, the government has engineered an environment in which domestic violence has become almost inevitable. Be warned, in the future envisioned by the military, we will not be viewed as Republicans or Democrats. Rather, we the people will be enemies of the state. As I make clear in my book, Battlefield America, the war on the American people, were already the enemies of the state. For years, the government has been warning against the dangers of domestic terrorism, erecting surveillance systems to monitor its own citizens, creating classification systems to label any viewpoints that challenge the status quo as extremist, and training law enforcement agencies to equate anyone possessing anti-government views as a domestic terrorist. What the government has failed to explain was that the domestic terrorist would be the government's own making. They're making the terrorists, whether intentional or not. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we the people have become enemy number one.